Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I always look at the hymn beforehand, but usually earlier on in the week, and I didn't catch this particular line from stanza 4. Shine on the darkened and the cold. God is certainly shining on us today as the cold is out there, and as you come into this place of warmth, not just in terms of the temperature that's in here, but the warmth that our God provides for us in so many ways. May God's blessings be upon us and you as you hear this message, a message that comes to you from our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 4, where we hear this. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him, and going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Thus far the reading. You may be seated. There are things that we do immediately out of instinct and out of pure reaction. That deer darts out in front of your car from the fields on the side of the road, and without even thinking about it, our foot flies from the gas pedal right onto the brake and slams down. Our favorite team scores the winning touchdown. And before the referee even signals for it, we're out of our seat and we're cheering. And we're even doing the hand motions, aren't we? It's out of instinct. It's out of reaction. I got to watch the UConn Huskies win their game yesterday in overtime, and there were a couple of those jumping out of the seat moments. And it is pure instinct when you're a fan. But then there are those times when our reactions aren't quite so immediate. Mom or dad asks you to take out the trash while you're watching your favorite TV show. And instead of getting up and cheering, it's more like you're glued to the seat, unable, unwilling to move. Or the taxes need to be done. And you've known about it from January on. It happens every single year, and yet it's April 14th, and you're frantically searching for those forms and those receipts that you need to get it all done. Paul knows what I'm talking about. So what is it that makes you react so immediately in some circumstances and so slowly in others? In the instances that I just mentioned, it had a lot to do with the necessity or the appeal of the activity that was being described. In our gospel reading for today, it has everything to do with the one who is appealing for that action. And that same one, Jesus, says to you and to me every single day, he says, "Follow me." Our response to that appeal should be to immediately follow him. And yet that's not always our first or our immediate response, is it? Because we have a natural tendency to be hesitant to jump into something that we're not totally sure of. We tend to weigh the risks and the rewards against one another and then make a calculated decision about which way it is that we're going to go. But that wasn't always the case, was it? Think about how much more likely you were as a 2-year-old to dive off the couch. Or how much more likely you were as a 5-year-old to jump out of the tree. You did it without hesitation. I just saw the other day Frida. She climbed up on a wobbly end table that was about as high as she is tall. And she, without a second of hesitation, dove off of it onto a thin cushion that was on the floor. No hesitation. A wonderful thing to be a two-year-old and be able to get back up from that, right? But as children grow up, the real life risks become clearer to us, don't they? The child who has fallen out of that tree and who has broken their arm obviously becomes more hesitant to climb that tree again. But that same child's confidence will resurface when someone stronger than them comes around to help them. Because that simple act of being present creates a level of trust and of confidence that has become weakened. And the same is true when we consider the power of God being near to us. His presence creates confidence to follow him wherever it is that he asks us to go, and to do whatever it is that he asks us to do. It's really the only way to explain the disciples' reaction to Jesus' invitation to follow him. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Peter and Andrew are just going about their business. Literally, their business. Because it's not like they had the day off and they just decided to go down by the lake and catch a couple of bass. This was their livelihood. And here comes Jesus with an offer that can be described as nothing other than strange. And that must have been the way that they had seen it. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It's an offer to those disciples, to those men, but it's also a command. And Jesus expected fully that those men would follow him. And the text doesn't tell us that Peter and Andrew thought about it for a while. It doesn't tell us that they went home and they slept on it overnight. They didn't consider the loss of income or the loss of status that they would have from losing their occupation. What does the text tell us? It says immediately they left their nets and followed him. Jesus extends that very same invitation and gives that very same command to you. Follow me. And in the same way that his presence comforted the disciples and the work of the Holy Spirit was there with them and gave them the ability to leave their nets and to follow him, his presence and the work of the Holy Spirit should comfort and strengthen you as well. Now, Jesus does urge his disciples to consider the cost of discipleship, to recognize the sacrifices that you will need to make to be his follower. But he also then says very clearly, take up your cross and follow me. Which is only possible because we all know that he has already taken up his own cross, carrying it all the way to Golgotha and willingly laying down his life for us. So knowing that and considering the cost that he has paid for you, you can put aside all of that hesitation, all of those excuses that you're so easy to conjure up, and immediately follow him. And that following of Christ who walks beside us to make this difficult life easier, it also means that there are other things that we can't hesitate to do. Because even as faithful Christians, we can tend to push aside the importance of restoring our broken relationships with the Lord. But not just the broken relationships we have with the Lord, the broken relationships that we have with each other as well. We make excuses about why it's all right that we've done this or that. We justify ourselves by saying that it was someone else's fault and not our own. But did you hear this? The only thing that Jesus says in our gospel before he calls those disciples to follow him is this. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's a powerful message. That's a powerful motivator. Because deep down, every single one of us knows that we are sinners in need of a Savior. We've fallen short, and we can't be made right without His blood. So the life of a Christian, it's one of repentance and forgiveness and walking with the Lord, and all of those things all intermixed and tied together. Because the law calls us to turn away from our sins and back toward our Savior. But then the gospel so graciously reminds us that he's waiting there with open arms to receive us. Why wouldn't we do that immediately? And yet we don't. Not all the time, anyway. You might think, well, I receive that forgiveness in the absolution every single Sunday. You all received it this morning. So I'll just wait. I'll wait until Sunday to make it right. And it is true that that absolution puts you right with the Lord. But what about the rest of the week when that relationship is broken? When you walk out these doors and that new group of sins is committed and we're not any longer right with the Lord? And it's not just our relationships with God. It's our relationships with one another. And I certainly know that when I do not have a right relationship, whether it's with God or with somebody else, that worry and anxiety begin to creep in. Sleep becomes more difficult. Life is just harder. And I'm sure it's the same for you as well. So when you hear the Lord's voice calling you to repent, heed it. Immediately. Get down on your knees and confess your sins and see what God is willing to do for you. You don't need me for that. And I know it's nice to hear those words of forgiveness out of the mouth of your pastor, but God is just as eager to offer them on a Tuesday at noon as he is on Sunday morning at 9. And then once that relationship that you have with God is right again, think about all those relationships that you have with your neighbors that could use a little bit of that same restoration. Perhaps that feud that's been ongoing with your brother or your sister for years could use a dose of forgiving and being forgiven as well. And don't forget that as a Christian, you have access to all of the gifts that God so freely gives. His means of grace are here for you. It's why you're here, after all. Many of you are here every single week to receive those means of grace in God's Word and in His sacrament, in the sacrament of the altar. Today, many of you are here to see the means of grace of God conveyed on little Hildy, which it was in her baptism. This is where God does those things. And you're here because God called out to you and he said to you, follow me. And you heard his voice and you recognized that following meant receiving everything that he has to give. And so you come here to hear his word. You come here to receive his grace. May your immediate response to God calling out to you be that you follow him. May that be your greatest desire, to enter into his house and receive that forgiveness that he gives to you in that absolution and in his body and his blood which await you. And don't hesitate to keep coming back, because it's always here. Even if you don't yet know that you need it, like little Hildy. not totally aware of what she needs yet at this point, but clearly needing the grace of God, clearly needing the waters of holy baptism. Because God's grace isn't something that we earn. Our actions haven't merited it. It's a gift. And so lots of credit to you, Peter and Rebecca, for acknowledging the need for her to be brought to those waters of baptism and immediately bringing her to them. Some might say, 6 days old, oh my goodness, how is she here already to be baptized? But you knew that this is what she needed. And if Sunday was closer to the day of her birth, I bet she would have been here earlier than 6 days too. Because that's what we do. We recognize our need and immediately we respond to God's call to baptism, to the Lord's Supper, to His forgiveness. And what a blessing it all is. Because we follow God's command. And in following God's command, Hilde is now a washed and reborn daughter of the King. Peter and Andrew and James and John, they left everything to follow Jesus. And Matthew describes to us what happens as more and more people do the same thing. As more and more people respond to God's call to follow me, Matthew tells us this, "And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan." I don't know exactly what God has in store for us here in Little Adel, but I do know that He makes those very same promises to us. Those very same promises that were made to the disciples and to the early church, He makes them to us as well. He's going to continue to teach as the gospel is proclaimed rightly here in this place. He's going to continue to heal diseases, both physical and spiritual. And I don't know about great crowds being gathered from Galilee and the Decapolis, or from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. But what I do know is that those from Adel and Oostburg, Random Lake and Fond du Lac, Cascade and Belgium, Grafton and Howard's Grove, Waldo and Mequon, Cedar Grove and Sheboygan, Batavia and Plymouth, and even beyond the Onion River, come here to this place to continue to hear God's word and to receive His gifts. All of you come, and many more will come to receive the gift of baptism. You come to receive the gifts that God gives to us in His sacrament, in His very body and blood. You come to hear God's word, to be refreshed and restored. And our goal is to every day hear His appeal to us to follow Him. And when we hear that appeal, may we immediately take up our nets and do just that. May God grant us the grace to hear, the mouths to proclaim, and the hearts to do His will as we follow Him. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.